was that I preached as long as I did. I got caught up in sharing some things about a family that got saved in this church and how many members out of that family got saved, about five brothers, all of them with the Lord except one, nephews, cousins, and just a variety of people got saved. And I got caught up in telling that story. And I told it for this reason. There's other families out there just like that family that needs to be reached with the love of God and with the gospel of Christ. And I believe the right kind. I talked about the model church this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I believe a model church is one that attempts to reach people like that. And I believe that you are a model church. And I pray that there will be some even greater and more wonderful things ahead for this church than there has been in the past. You've had a wonderful past, but I believe there's some great things ahead. When I came to this church 45 years ago, God had used Brother Gordon Pittard for 11 years. He put some stability in this church that it needed. He taught them to follow leadership, and you have. And I'm grateful that the Lord gave me the joy of having a little part in the history of this church. I talked with Brother Foskey this afternoon, and he's feeling somewhat better. He's not completely well, but he is feeling somewhat better. And he said that he tried to listen to the service this morning, part of it on the way to church, and had a problem with the sound or whatever. And I think he called Brother G.W. and they've been working on it over the air or whatever. But I'm delighted to be able to be here today, and it means a lot to me. And I want to thank this church for praying for my family and I, praying for Catherine and I, and loving my family, and allowing me to be your preacher for all these years, 45 years, 1 year ago this month, I ceased being your pastor. Brother Foskey is a great man. I think he's going to have some great years ahead of him in the ministry. And I want to encourage you to continue loving him and praying for him and just pray God's grace on him. Pray God's blessings on him. And he won't ever do anything that you don't like. But if he does something you don't like, just pray God's grace on him. Pray God to bless him. And just bless him so that he can't do anything but good, which he will anyway. But I appreciate so much. I appreciate so much you loving him and loving his family. And I'm sure happy to preach this morning and tonight. And I do want to say this. Brother Moore, I'm humble that you're here. I know the last few weeks has been, months in fact, has been a terrible time in your life. And I cannot imagine what you've gone through since Miss Janet went to be with the Lord. But I appreciate your faith and your dependency upon the Lord. And I pray God's grace continually upon you and your precious family. Tim, you're a blessing. I told someone the other day that I haven't known you closely that long. But I'm impressed with you, your faith and your stability in the Lord. And you, little lady, God bless you. I appreciate you being here with your father tonight. God bless you. God bless you. And what a blessing to be able to preach. I want to talk to you tonight on one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. I want to talk to you about a lady. There's a good much said about her. But she does not get as much attention in the scripture as Mary, the mother of Jesus, and perhaps Lois and some of the other ladies. She probably gets the attention that Lydia got. But I want to talk to you tonight about a lady that the Bible says every time this passage of scripture is open, she's remembered. And her legacy lives on and marches on. I want to talk to you about a lady who simply did what she could. to conserve time, I want to ask you if you'll look with me in Mark chapter 14, verse number 8. I want to read this verse, and then I want to share with you some thoughts from this passage. Verse 8, Mark 14. Listen to this. I would have you remember these are the words of Jesus. This is not the commendation of some secular group. This is not the pastor saying this, but if she had a pastor, he would have said it. But this was the Lord. This was Jesus, our Savior, our God. And this is what he said about this lady. Listen to this. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. She has done what she could. That is one of the greatest compliments, one of the greatest commendations that could ever be made about a person. Would it not be such a blessing? Wouldn't it be something that you and I would yearn to hear? If perhaps at the judgment seat of Christ, our Lord said about us, he or she has done what they could. That is a powerful, wonderful statement. She has done what she could. Now just in the introduction, let me just ask some questions to all of us, including myself. But let me ask you tonight, if you really wanted to, could you sing in the choir? I mean, if you really, just really got to wanting to, could you sing in the choir? Let me ask this statement. Could you, if you really just somehow got to really wanting to, your desire and your want to was so moved, could you read your Bible and pray every day if you really wanted to? Now, it's no need for us to pretend. Everybody doesn't read their Bible every day who are saved. Everybody doesn't spend any much time in prayer every day. Some of us lack that. But if you really wanted to, if you just said, listen, this is something that I want to do, and I'm by God's grace, I'm going to do it. Could you do it? Then I want to ask one other question, then I'm going to move on with the message. If you really wanted to, if you're sitting here tonight and suddenly something really stirred you on the inside and your will was so moved and you just said in your will, I want to do this. I want to do it. Could you, if you really wanted to, with God's favor and God's help and God's grace, if you really wanted to, could you win somebody to Christ in the next 6 months? If you really wanted to. I want you to think about that. And I want to speak tonight on she has done what she could. Now here's the setting. We're told in verse 3 that Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And as they were receiving meat, as they set it meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And you know what happened? She began to get criticism for it. Some said, why, this was very expensive. Some said, why, this could have been sold for X amount of money. And this could have been taken and given to the poor and used in the benevolence fund for the poor. This could have been used for that. And our Lord, listen to this. Our Lord said, oh, I love this. Our Lord said, and I'm gonna paraphrase this. Our Lord said, you leave her alone. Jesus said, let her alone, let her alone. Why are you trying to trouble her? Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Then he said, you'll always have the poor. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. This lady did something that I want to share with you. I want to share four things about it. She brought this very costly ornament. She broke this alabaster box that it was stored in, and she poured it on his head. And by the way, in John chapter 12, we're told that she also anointed his feet and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. What a wonderful gesture. What a tremendous act by this lady. I think I'd be honest in saying it was a great act of devotion. But I want to give you four things briefly that happened when this took place. Number one, in verse number 3, the Lord Jesus was exalted. This lady exalted the Lord Jesus. She exalted him in what she was doing. Now I want you to see the scene. I want to add a little to this scene here. This, for some reason, Mark did not record this. The Holy Spirit did not just direct him to do it. But over in John chapter 12, there's a little statement or two that's added to it. John added a little extra to it. John said, when they were talking about being in Bethany, in the house of the leper, John said Lazarus was also there, who had been dead for 4 days and raised from the dead, resuscitated from the dead. No wonder there was a crowd. Now you think about this. You think about the word got out, there's going to be a feast, there's going to be a meal, and probably the word spread that they were receiving guests, and they heard that Lazarus was going to be there. And many of them probably did the same thing that you and I do. If I was certain that somebody had been raised from the dead, and they were going to be in a meeting somewhere, I'd drive 200 or 300 miles to get there, and so would you. I'd want to see them. And many of those people probably came to see Lazarus. And here they are in this large gathering. People everywhere. And people are saying, "That's over there's Lazarus. There he is over there at that table. Over there in this section, you can't get to him, but he's over there." And probably people were trying to see Lazarus. And suddenly, in the midst of that tremendous gathering of people, this little lady who had sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. She had understood things. And she had spiritually seen things that so many others, even his apostles, had not seen at this time. She sat at his feet. And Jesus poured out his heart to her. He poured out his mind and he taught her. And she had sat at his feet and heard his words. And she probably was sitting there and she saw all of these people looking at Lazarus. She probably heard people talking about, "That's him. I remember before he died, that's him. He's been raised. He's here. That man was dead for 4 days and now he's alive." And suddenly, she gets up and goes across the room and breaks that alabaster box And she begins to pour it on his head and on his feet. I know you already know this, but that was a picture of anointing. People were anointed in the Bible for about three different reasons. First of all, they were anointed to be a priest. The priest had to be anointed. Was she telling us something that perhaps the others didn't know? That's going to be our high priest. That's going to be the one that takes his place at the right hand of God the Father. And he's going to be our high priest. Could have been. Another person who was anointed in the Bible was a future king. Was she anointing him and saying, I'm anointing you. I know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the one that all of our forefathers that had faith in God has looked for all of these centuries, these millenniums. You're him. And she poured this anointing upon him. And then I think probably this was the greatest reason. The third category of people who were anointed was folks who had died. And the Lord let her see in advance. Suddenly she realized and it registered with her, he's the Savior. And he's going to be our Messiah. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. And she realized that her faith was in the one who's going to die on the cross of Calvary. And she said, this is going to be my way. I want to come aforehand. And I want to anoint him with this oil and this very precious spikenard. I want to anoint him with this. And I want this to say to all of these in the house that he is going to die for my sins. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a gesture by this precious lady. She came and she exalted the Lord Jesus by doing what she could. Doing what she could exalted the Lord. May I say to you that everything that I do in the Christian faith, everything that I attempt to do for the remainder of my life, I pray that God will make me so conscious that everything I do, it will be designed and directed to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us are worthy of being exalted. I like what Jesus said. The Lord Jesus said, he that humbleth himself will be exalted. And he that exalteth himself will be abased. And then I go over there to that second chapter of Philippians. And Jesus put into practice what he taught. Jesus illustrated in Philippians chapter 2. He illustrated what he was talking about when he said, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he that exalteth himself shall be abased. In the second chapter of Philippians, you know what Jesus did? He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he was found in the likeness of a man. To the extent that he humbled himself and became obedient to the death on the cross. And this precious lady was exalting Jesus for doing that. When you have a chance, read Philippians 2 and read about how he humbled himself. And when you get down to about verse number 6 or 7, you'll find this word, wherefore. Wherefore. And that word wherefore in the Bible means basically the same thing as therefore. That word wherefore means that because of this, because Jesus has humbled himself and made himself obedient to the death of the cross. The writer said, Paul said, wherefore God, oh, I love this. God has highly exalted him. God has highly lifted him up and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that he is Lord. God has exalted him. And may I say to you, the question is not if, the question is when. The question is not if will the world honor Jesus someday. The question is not will nations bow to him someday. Will those that, even in this country, that hates the name of Jesus. I make no apology for what I'm about to say. We don't have a swamp up in Washington, D.C. As far as I'm concerned, it's a septic tank. And when you mention Jesus, you're branded. Some of the major news medias will brand you if you speak up for Jesus. If you say, I take my stand, I'm a Christian, I believe in doing right, and I believe this is right and this is wrong, you're branded. The septic tank will cry out. But I have news for all of us. God has so highly exalted Jesus that someday every tongue will confess to the glory of God and every knee shall bow to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That he is Lord, listen, Lord of lords and King of kings. And I say to you that when this precious Mary walked across that room and bowed at his feet and broke the box and poured the ointment on his head and it ran down to his feet and she took her hair and began to swipe and wipe and dry his feet, you know what she was doing? She was drawing the focus of every eye upon him. She was saying, hey, take your eyes off Lazarus. Take your mind off Lazarus. Look at him. This is Jesus. And I want to exalt him and lift him up. Secondly, not only did she exalted the Lord Jesus, but in verse 8, she exhibited her own personal faith. How do you express your faith? Somebody said, well, I just tell folks I love Jesus and I love him. I believe in Jesus and I love him. May I say to you that genuine faith, biblical faith, right kind of faith will put some actions inside our soul. We will love him in actions. We'll love him in our faith. We'll love him in what we do if we really love him like we should. And she, in this way, she exhibited her faith. She came beforehand to anoint him. You see, I can't wait until Jesus comes again to praise him. I ought to be doing it now. I can't wait until the rapture takes place and then try to tell folks that it's taking place. I ought to be doing it now. I can't wait and say, well, I ought to have been faithful. I'm sorry that I wasn't. I ought to be faithful now. And what she was doing, she was exhibiting her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. She came before time to anoint him for the burial. Oh, she said, I believe that he's going to die for my sin. She possibly knew things that those disciples did not know. Now listen, just a few weeks or days later, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, I want you to know that I've got to go up to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be buried. And on the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And probably those disciples meant well. Many of them did. Those that responded in this way. Some of them said, not so, Lord. One of them was Simon Peter. He said, not so, Lord. That's not going to happen to you. We will not allow that to happen to you. Not so, Lord. But you see, this precious lady, she understood something that they didn't know. They didn't understand that he was going to the cross, be crucified. But somehow God enabled her to understand that. And she anointed him before he was ever crucified for his burial. What an act of faith. What a blessing. And then number three, not only did she exalt the Lord Jesus, not only did she exhibit her faith in what she did, but may I say to you, this act that she did, this good work that she did, it expressed her love for Jesus. Her love was expressed through what she did. May I ask each of us tonight, how do we tell Jesus we love him? How do we tell him we love him? The Bible gives us two illustrations in the Bible. Two groups were told to go work in the field. One of them said this, I'm not going. I'm not going. The other one said, I'll go and work. And the one that said, I'll go, I will, he did nothing. He did nothing. He had the words, he talked about it, but he had no reality to his life. And the Lord condemned him, rebuked him. But the one that said, I'm not going, I'm not going to do it. He got thinking about it. And he said, this is my master's work. This is my master who is asking me to do this. And he said, Master, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will go. I will serve you. And he went and worked. And when the work was finished, he had a tremendous reward. This lady did what she could. She expressed her love for Jesus. In her expression, the way God allowed her to express it was very costly. Now, I hope this is accurate, but I've read somewhere that the cost of this alabaster box of ointment was a year's labor in that day. Now, can you imagine that? I don't think Mary and Martha and Lazarus, I think they were probably average people. They were not wealthy people, probably. But that's a lot of money. And she said, I want to express my love to the Lord. Now, she could have said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Messiah. And probably it wouldn't have had much weight to it. She could have turned and said to somebody, well, I believe he's somebody special. If people knew who he was, they wouldn't be giving so much attention to Lazarus because he'd been raised from the dead. No, she said, what can I do to really say to these people, I love him? And what can I say to my Lord and my Savior that will show my love? And she said, I know what I'll do. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever wondered why she had that alabaster box with her? Could it have been that she sat at Jesus' feet so many times and heard him speak? She got thinking about some of the words she'd heard and some of the things the Lord had instructed her about. Could it have been, she said, the next time I'm around him and I get a chance, I'm going to bring that alabaster box out and I'm going to pour it on his head and his feet and I'm going to anoint him, expressing my faith and my love and my devotion to him. I'm going to do that. The greatest way in the world, and I certainly have no problem with this, I love to hear people talk about their love for Christ. I think those old meetings when folks would get up and talk about loving Jesus and talk about loving their neighbors, I think that those meetings are good for our church, even today. I think they're good for us. And I think it's great for you to stand and for you to, folks, I love Jesus. It's wonderful to express your love in words to Jesus. But I want to tell you, the greatest way on planet Earth to say to God, I love you, now listen to me, is to do what you can. Do what you can. Do what you can. She said, I want to express my love for Jesus. And she brought that very costly ornament and poured it on him. I jotted this down. I may have heard it from somebody else or read it somewhere. But I jotted down, the measure of my love for Jesus is by the degree of service I offer to him. I heard this story of a missionary. And he was going to the field. And he was going to a place where other missionaries had been killed. And they were horrible people. They were cruel. They were savage. And somebody said to him, how in the world can you go over there and take your family? How in the world can you go and love those people? And he said, I'm not going because I love those people. I'm going because I love my Savior. That's the difference. And we measure our love for Jesus by the degree of service that we offer to him. She did what she could. Are we doing what we can do? Are we doing what we can do? You've heard me tell this. I'm sure that many of you have heard me tell this in the past. But I can't get this out of my mind when I preach a message like this. I usually use this. I heard this story. Dr. Bob Gray told it from Jacksonville, Florida. And Dr. Gray said they had, as you know, they had a large bus ministry. I'm talking about they probably ran 30, 40 buses. And Brother Moore, you had a large bus ministry, probably the largest one in Gwinnett County for many, many, many years. This church had a large bus ministry. We operated at one time 9 buses. And you had a large bus ministry. But they had just maybe 100 buses. I don't know. But they had a humongous bus ministry. And he said his bus pastor came to him and said, Dr. Gray, I got a problem. He said, what is it? He said, this lady has come to me and told me that God had put in her heart to be a bus captain, and she wanted a bus route so that she could help get boys and girls in this church to hear the gospel. And Dr. Gray said, well, wonderful, give her one. He said, you don't understand, Dr. Gray. She's in a wheelchair. And he said, in a wheelchair? Yes, she's in a wheelchair. He said, have you reminded her of that? And he said, I have. And said, this was her answer. There was a section in Jacksonville where one of the buses could go. It was kind of like a meal village. And if you know about a meal village, all the houses are just alike. All of them are just right on the side of the street. At one time, it was a dirt street going through there. But they're right on the side of the street. And in modern days, they had put sidewalks down through those little streets in that mill village. And those little houses sat right on, I mean, the steps went right up to the porch, right into the house. And that lady said, I've already checked it out. And I can ride my wheelchair down the sidewalk, and I can take my walking stick, and I can peck on the doors and let them know I'm there. Bob Gray told this, that lady took a bus route. And 1 year later, she was averaging on that bus route. She was averaging, running two buses on her route. She was averaging about 97 kids on her bus route. He said hundreds of kids got saved. I know that's an unusual story. I know that's an unusual work. I know that is something that's out of the ordinary. I mean, that's not ordinary going to happen like that. But listen, there's something that all of us can do. There's something you can do. I said this morning that every member of this church ought to have a job and a responsibility. Every member ought to have that. What could you do? She did what she could. She expressed her love for Jesus. And then lastly, listen to this. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, after stating what we have in verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burning. And then Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached, wherever this gospel is preached, if it's preached in Georgia, if it's preached in Africa, and this particular passage of Scripture is preached, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial, a remembrance of her. And I've said this before in preaching this message, and I don't think I'm overstating it. I don't think I'm overemphasizing it. But I think probably tonight up in heaven, up yonder somewhere beyond the beyond, up there where heaven is, that city that God's going to bring to this, not to this earth, but to the new earth, that heaven that's going to come down, that new Jerusalem soon that's coming down, perhaps Jesus, perhaps the Lord tonight is saying to this little Mary, Mary, there's a, and I say this humorously, but it's truthful, Mary, there's an old fat Baptist preacher over the church called Corinth Baptist Church down on earth. And he's preaching about you tonight. He's telling about what you did for the Lord. He's telling about what you did for me when you anointed me before my burial. Everywhere this is preached, she's remembered. May I ask you, and I'm sure that the preachers here, brother, all the preachers here, not Brother Moore and these other preachers, I'm sure that Brother Bob and others, two Brother Bobs, I'm sure you've had funerals. And when you'd have a funeral, you'd remember some special things about those people. I think of names over the last 45 years. Sometimes in the night, I think of names of people that I've preached to in this church. They're gone. But I think of those names, and I think about what they did for the Lord. Every time I go over to our little prayer garden up here, Brother Bill, Yancey, you and your sweet wife built this prayer garden up here. But every time I walk over there, and by the way, I was here the other Sunday, well, several weeks ago I was here, and I started to leave the services. And Catherine and I started to the car, and I looked, and I saw one of the men in this church up there at that little garden. And he was on his knees praying and talking to the Lord in that garden. Now you can pray anywhere. You don't have to have a garden to pray in. But isn't it a blessing that we can go up there to a quiet place and sit down on some comfortable seats if we want to? We can go up there to a table and sit down and sit there. And I'll promise you, almost any time you go up there, Brother Bill, I've noticed this. I've been up there in different months. I promise you, almost any time you go up there to that prayer garden and sit down, you won't be sitting there 5 minutes until the coolest breeze will start blowing on you. I don't know why it is. It's amazing. It's the coolest place on this campus. And I thought, what a blessing. But I think about people and I pray for them, their memory. I cherish their memory. I think of people that, and I went up, I thought about that garden. And there is a seed up there and a little table, and this is what it says: in memory of Brother and Sister Tanner. Brother and Sister Tanner joined this church. They were fairly young when they joined. They stayed in this church for many, many, many years. You know what their job was? He told me, he said, Brother Richards, if you don't mind, will you let Mrs. Tanner and I, we'd just like to be in charge of all the flowers around the church at the old location. We'd like to be in charge of all the flowers. And if you don't mind, when they cut the grass, just tell them to leave the flowers in those hedges for us. We'd like to take care of that. I don't know how many times I've come in that parking lot and I'd see them out there, and Brother Tanner'd be down on his knees and he'd be pulling weeds out of those flower gardens. What a blessing. And when they died, somebody, the church didn't do it, but somebody asked, could they, in memory and in honor of Brother and Sister Tanner, Brother Mose and Ruth Tanner, could they buy those benches, some of those benches, and the little table up there to honor them? And it's up there today. And every time I look at that little table and chair sitting there, I think of Brother Mose and Sister Ruth Tanner. Can I ask you something? There's nothing wrong with asking this. What will you be remembered for? I wished I would not be able to say this. But can I tell you about some recollections that I wish I didn't have in my mind? I can remember folks that even use profanity in talking to me. I can remember faces, Brother Hollis, and names of people that said things to me that I wouldn't even tell my wife because I didn't want Catherine to have to carry that burden and grieve over me crying and weeping and praying. I wish I didn't have memories like that. But oh, thank God for those precious memories. Those that said, I want to do what I can. This isn't much, but I want to do what I can, and I want to do it for the Lord. I want to do it for the Lord. I want to do what I can. The guy that was here this morning, Brother Bill Fisher, I mentioned that what happened on the softball field many years ago, his wife just recently, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, died. And Beverly, his wife Beverly, and they were in this church for many, many years, and they moved away, and he's always kept in contact with me. But he told me, he said, Brother Don, said, I want to do something to help the church. I want to do something to help the ministry. He said, would you mind if I talked to some of the men and said, what I want to do, I want to get a large piece of plywood. And he said, what I want to do, I want to build a sign to go out on 78, and I want to put your picture on it. He said, I want to paint your picture. I knew that he fooled around painting pictures and, you know, tried to do some artist work. And he said, could I do that? And I said, I guess it'd be all right. And I talked to the deacons and we agreed on it. And he got some poles and put up the poles. And he got this big piece of plywood and he painted it white. And he drew a picture of Brother Don Richards. How many of you remember years ago, there was probably a few of you might remember, there was, comic books was very, very popular back then. Do you ever remember a comic book by the name, a man's name, Moon Mulligan? You ever remember him? I'm telling you, he made my lips and my eyes and nose to look just like Moon Mulligan. Maybe I looked that way anyway. My wife said, you've got to get that down. Said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's a shame toward this church. Boy, she laid it on me. And that stayed up for 3 or 4 or 5 months, and somehow or another we were able to get another sign and get that one down. I'm telling you, I'd have people say to me, hey, preacher. And they wouldn't just come out and say how ugly it is. They'd say, hey, preacher, who'd you get to do that sign of you up there on 78? But are you doing what you can do? She did what she could do, and she'll never regret it. Let's stand together, please. I'm sure glad you're here tonight. Thank you.